Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry. We have got another fantastic show lined up for you. And Jenna, I hope you're doing all right. Your latest alias, though, I'm going to assume that you are going to explain to us what your latest Zoom alias is. For the audience, if you didn't know, every week, Jenna is somebody different. Jenna plays a sort of Zoom fantasy game every single week with Carol and I, which I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's not. It don't take it weird, please. It's just a Jenna thing.
Yes.
Okay. Weird, no. Not weird. All right. Tomato, tomato.
Yes. And normally I like to have my alias a little glamorous, but this week my alias is the cause of someone else's road rage.
Which you do.
The reason, this is so bad. This is so freaking, and I'm like, this is embarrassing. But I'm going to tell you because there's actually a little, I think I can spin this so that other people will relate and actually maybe feel sorry for me that that it happened.
Okay.
So little bit of a wind up to this story. And it's funny. And we'll talk about this when we get to what I'm sure will be a fabulous segue. It's really appropriate that we're having the guest that we're having today. And I'll let it be a surprise for the next couple minutes. Because I've been going through some, you know, and normally we'd like to keep the show very light. And I do intend to keep this light. But we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that from time to time into each life, a little rain must fall. Right. So yes. We must have audience members who go through things. We go through things, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's a loved one's health crisis. Things could be happening in our work or our relationships or what have you. And normally on Sundays, we like to have some fun so that people can forget about all that.
But, exactly.
But we are human. So from time to time, it only makes sense that we share some of maybe our own tough times with our audience, just not to get sympathy. I was actually kidding when I said that, but to inspire people that, you know, you can get through anything. You can get through absolutely anything. And we're here to help people do that. So with that said, I've been going through a little bit of a tough time, not personally my situation, but I have loved ones around me who have become very ill. I lost a family member just a few days ago. I'm going to be flying out for a service. Things are really, it's a sad time, but you know, marching on as all of us will do from time to time, nobody can escape this kind of thing. Death is always inevitable and you have to find a way to find the bright side and the light through the darkness. And that's what I'm doing most of the time.
I was going to say, don't go completely changing your stripes there, Spilbor.
So in a way, part of the way I handle this kind of stress is when I need to be completely focused, like at work, for example, I can do it. I can shut out everything else and I can focus on the task at hand and get through the day. But when I'm in a situation where my mind can wander, my mind will wander. And that's fine, except for when your mind is wandering while you are sitting behind the wheel of a vehicle, a 3,000-pound killing machine.
That's right. And one that isn't self-driving. Right.
Right.
Not even the beater.
Not right. The beater isn't even self-driving. So this is just terrible. This actually just happened yesterday, and I'm so embarrassed. I hope the people who encountered this yesterday are not listeners of this show, because then they're going to be like, oh my God, that was you. So I had to leave the office yesterday, and I was driving someplace, and in the city of Poughkeepsie, they've been doing road work on this one damn road. It feels like forever. So once in a while, it'll be closed. And then not close, not close, not. And you never really know until you're up on the closure. And then you kind of don't really have much choice. You either go left or right and you have to kind of find your way around. All right, fine. So yesterday I'm driving. I come upon this closure. I quickly have to maneuver and I get cute and I say, you know what? I'm going to just go one block out of my way and then, you know, circle back around and get back on this same road a little farther down where it should be opened. Because I don't know how far it's going to be closed and they don't have any signs up. So I do that. I come upon the closure. I take a quick right. I take a quick left and I'm going to get right back on this closed road. So I get to the intersection where I'm about to get back on the road that was previously closed when it is quite evident that the road basically is mimicking the moon. And what I mean by that is there's no pavement. There are no lines. There are no pavement. It's a big ditch. It's all weird. It's all dirt. It's all rock. It's like somebody blew it up. I quickly surmised, I'm like, shoot, this whole road is closed, but they didn't put a sign up. So I'm like, okay, no problem. I got time. I'm just going to turn around and I'll take the scenic route. So I begin to do like an 18-point turn to turn myself around on this road. And I'm in my own zone. I'm thinking about a million other things. I'm not paying attention to the condition of this road. I'm just not. I do my 18-point turn. I'm like, geez, this road is really tight. I get turned around and now I'm face to face with a row
yep.
of cars.
Oh God.
Also trying to get onto this now closed road. And I'm like beeping at them, like, get out of the way, move over. I can't get by. Look at it. This road is so narrow. Like, move. I gotta get by, you dumb dumb. When it finally occurs to me that I am now going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
On a one-way street.
Of course you are.
And I'm the one acting like everybody else is the a-hole.
Oh my God.
And there, since it's a
the moment should the moment Frankenberry, she finally regrets her custom plates.
Exactly.
There's been more than one moment that has happened. But yes. And because it's a one-way, you've got cars parked on both sides of the street. It's really only one lane. And I'm like,
and now you got to make another 18-point turn to get faced the right way. Oh, Jesus.
But now I get contrite. So after he's screaming at everybody to get the heck out of my way, when it dawns on me, I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Now I'm like, I'm so sorry. Give me your address. I'll send you something from Amazon. I didn't mean it. You don't know me. It's going to be okay. Oh, my God. Oh, please forgive me. And I could not have made an 18-point turn faster. It was not easy. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. I can't believe that happened. But when after it happened, I said to myself, you know what? I literally, it's not like I don't remember any of that. It's like I was not paying attention so severely that I had zero situational awareness. And that's like, whoa. But I think that happens from time to time when your head is someplace else, which it should not be when you're behind the wheel.
Well, that is a good point. Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not, I mean, there have been times like when you do something over and over again, like your ride to work, right? You take the same road to work. Sometimes you can be like, oh, I'm here already. Geez, that went fast.
Yep.
But this was a little different because I literally had six cars who must have thought, what on earth are you doing?
What on earth were you doing?
And you know what the best part, and I'm thinking about it now when you said it suddenly dawned on you where you were, and now you're trying to be contrite to these cars. Mm-hmm. I would love like a quick compilation of all the different ways that people try to convey, I'm sorry, I'm the idiot here, but without being heard. You know, just with like hand motions,
just like, or 1500 palm waves.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Sorry. You know, your eyes are wide, you know, whatever it happens to be, you're mouthing something. My bad. You know?
Didn't need it. I know. Well, usually what I do is I have managed a perfect recreation of the grimace face emoji on my actual face. Like I can do that little tight, straight smile. And that's my way of saying to the world, didn't mean it. So sorry. Nothing to see here. Move along. Forget we know each other. Isn't that? But I, you know, but
oh my gosh,
things like that can happen from time to time.
Well, and you weren't even being irresponsible. It's not like you were on the phone or holding the phone. Like this is just sometimes life gets your brain in overdrive and overwhelmed. And I hear you. And thankfully, all you got ended up with was a situation where you were embarrassed.
Totally embarrassed.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one here, but, you know, you think of occasions if you do get pulled over, how you're going to explain to the officer what happened. And I'm just thinking right now that if there happened to be a cop there trying to tell him that, sorry, I wasn't paying any attention whatsoever and my brain was somewhere else, not going to be the best of arguments. So you would have to have come up with something else.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Kind of is a little bit of a segue into something else that I want to say. So the appointment that I was heading to just so happened to be I traded in one of my non-beater car for a new car because it had been 3 years. And so now I'm leasing a new car. And so when I picked up the new car yesterday after I nearly, you know, killed six people going the wrong way on a one-way street, the new cars these days, in case you don't know, I didn't know, a lot of them don't come with the front license plate holder, and or at least the sportier models don't. So they convinced me at the car place. They're like, look, we don't want to muck up the car by putting the front license plate on. So we'll give you the license plate holder, but we're not going to put it on the car unless you really want us to. And I was like,
doesn't New York State require it?
Yes. So it's a law. In New York State, you have to have a front license plate. And I am probably one of the few people in New York State to have ever gotten a ticket for not having a front license plate on a prior car that also didn't come with a front license plate. And I got a ticket for that one time, but it was years ago. So they were trying to convince me that, you know, we've only had one customer in the last however many years come back and want to put it on because they got a ticket or whatever. And they know that I'm a lawyer. And they're like, Jonna Spilboer is not going to get a ticket for missing. And I said, oh, contraire, mon frere. You know, when I get pulled over, like I go big or go home. I get the ticket for the no front license plate, the tinted windows, the thing hanging from the rear view mirror, the inside of your car smells like a pine tree. I don't, whatever they can give me a ticket for, they give me a ticket for.
Well, because there's probably not many cops in Dutchess County that you haven't gone up against.
Exactly.
Here we go. Now it's our turn.
But I pulled out of there and I said, all right, you know what? I'll live a little dangerously and let's see how long we can go without me getting a ticket for not having a front license plate. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind, kids. When this show airs, it'll be what? November? I'm not sure. 18th or so? No.
Oh, no. It'll be the
20th.
Okay. From November 20th, just mark your calendar. How long? We'll play a game. How long? It's a ticket for no front license plate. Okay.
All right. Bet so not. What do you think Vegas is going to place the over under at, like 13 days?
I'll tell you right now, it'll be my bet is before Christmas. That's my bet before this Christmas.
All right. So, well, here's something that might make you feel a little bit better about that is that I was driving behind somebody the other day who had a paper temporary plate on the back of their car. Okay. And it was a New Jersey paper temporary plate. And it says expires September 22nd, 2022.
Ooh.
Okay. So now this person,
and you could read it from behind your wheel.
Oh yeah. You could read it like clear as day. And that's even with me having a bad right eye right now. I could read their temporary license plate. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you've gotten 2 months and nobody, and not a single cop has gotten behind you yet. You've got some luck, lady.
Wow.
So you never know. And that's the back license plate, which is a heck of a lot easier for police to eventually see than the front one.
This is true. But you know what? I can make a case that New York State should change that front license plate law for a couple of reasons. Number one, easy pass now. Doesn't matter whether you got a tag or, well, no, I guess.
Easy pass. Yeah.
Yeah. You need that front license plate for easy pass, don't you? That's what it takes the picture of, right? The front of the car or the back of the car?
Probably front.
It could do either. I bet you it could do either. And plus, if you've got an easy pass thingamabob in your window, then who cares? Because you got the easy pass thingamabob.
Right, which not everybody does, though.
And as long as you have one, and also, I think your license plate number is on your windshield on the registration sticker. So it's not like, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. I mean, it's on there. So, and plus, in this day and age, I don't care that you don't have a front license plate. Like, in this day and age, somebody somehow, Big Brother, Alexa, Siri, somebody knows every move you freaking make.
That's true.
Every move. When you go to the bathroom, when you make coffee, when you leave the house, when you open your garage door. So give me a break already. That's going to be my argument when I'm arguing in front of a judge who's not even a lawyer in some podunk town that I get pulled over in for not having a front license plate and a bad attitude. That's it.
Yeah, and that's even if you get to the judge after spending a couple of nights in the clink, in that podunk town.
It's going to be my version of my cousin Vinny. So instead of getting accused of murder, it's going to be getting accused of no front license plate.
Yeah, and your mugshot is going to be you standing there looking all, your hair all mussed up, and rather than that normal thing they hold in front of them, it'll be your front license plate.
That's right. And then the officer is going to show up at the trial, you know, that Officer Cletus Johnson, you know, he's going to be there, and he's going to make sure that you don't get off.
That's right. And he's going to have a belt up to his you know, nipples.
That's right. That's right.
You'll have to hire your cousin Vinny to represent you.
Exactly.
I'm going to end up doing 15 days in jail for the violation, which incidentally, you can serve up to 15 days in jail for a lousy violation, for any violation, speeding, no front license plate, you know.
Really?
Yes. The maximum punishment is 15 days in jail. And then I'll be calling you guys. We'll be like zooming in for our normal recording. I'll be like,
Chana, why is it so echoey?
I don't have good Wi-Fi here. Hey, Barry.
And then can you hear Jana like in the middle of the show? No, I don't want to trade anything for cigarettes. Okay? I don't smoke.
Let me just tell you guys something right here, right now. If I ever get thrown in the slammer for 15 days, there's only one thing you got to do for me.
Bring your makeup and hair dryer.
Makeup, hair dryer, some tequila in some form or fashion. But do not send me food, because I will go on a hunger strike for 15 days. Why? Because I'm also going on a bathroom strike for 15 days. So let's not make it more harder. Right? I'm not going to shower. I'm not going to use the bathroom. I'm not going to do anything but sit there and put makeup on top of makeup on top of makeup. I'm going to have red lipstick all over my face like a freaking clown. That's what I'm going to do.
And on her headstone, Frank Gray's going to say death by explosion.
Somebody better come pick me up.
Busted a gut.
I ain't taking a free bus. I ain't taking a free bus. Got it?
Yeah, sure. I wrote it all down. You're good.
Well, you know what? Think of it this way. If you were in jail for 15 days, think about how much time you would have to meditate.
Oh, God, I lobbed you that. I lobbed you that, and I didn't even know I was lobbing it. You're like,
yeah, you did lob that one up there.
Wow. Yeah. I'm good. I'm so good, I don't even know how good I am.
Yeah, so coming up after the break, we have a friend of the show, a friend of ours, Deborah Hanlon. She's local. She's an intuitive medium. She's been on our show before. We love her. And we're going to be talking about the importance of a meditation practice and what that actually means and how doing so can actually help you become your own medium and hear messages or understand messages and communicate with those past. So it's been a while since we've talked to her. Very excited to have her back. So coming back after the break, Deborah Hanlon.
All right, that sounds good. I'm going to go bail Jana out of the clink, and we will return with Deborah Hanlon and more with Jana Spielborg and Carol Pesci and Happy Hour on the way. So please stick around.
Jana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jana and Carol.
It is Happy Hour here. Jana Spielborg, Carol Pesci, myself, I'm Frankenberry. And it is time now to get to our guest, and a guest that has been on the show numerous times in the past and a good friend of the show as well, though someone we have not talked to in a little while. Deborah Hanlon is with us this morning.
I know, so excited. We love her so much. She's a personal friend of ours. She's been on the show many times, although admittedly, I think we've gone a little bit too long without having her back.
I know.
She's local. She is a bona fide intuitive medium. She's going to tell you a little bit more about what that is. Jonna and I have both seen her in action firsthand. Both have experienced goosebumps multiple times and jaw drops with what she does. So Deborah Hanlon, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Oh, it's so good to be back and good to hear your voices. It has been definitely way too long.
I know. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the importance of having a meditation practice, what that actually means, because I think that word could mean different things to different people, and how people can foster that ability that we all have. You've said that before, but how they can foster that within themselves so they don't need you to help them communicate with those on the other side. But before we get into that, what I would love to do, if there are any ears hearing you for the first time, is for you to tell us a little bit about what you do and how this started for you. Like, what's your backstory in case someone's just hearing you for the first time?
So the backstory, I did write a book that has a lengthy description of the backstory, but essentially I've always been interested in death and what happens when we die. And is it true that we're really still present and conscious of the physical world and all of it since I'm very young, about 3-4 years old. And that led me on a journey, and that journey surprised me, who considers even to this day myself a sort of a skeptic of all this stuff, this mediumship, and I'm putting that in air quotes. It's hilarious. Well, it's not really hilarious. I need deep therapy over it every day, but it's, and I'm joking. Thank you, Frank and Barry. it's mostly that, you know, I have a very logical mind and a very intuitive heart. And I think we all have that combination. And my logical mind loves to be skeptical of these things because I like proof and data of the existence of consciousness that goes on once we leave our body. So the backstory is I'm not like a ghost hunter. I'm not somebody who really does anything in the realm of like hauntings and things like that. I don't believe in all of that. I'm deeply committed and passionate to understand the nature of who we are, what this whole thing is about, meaning this whole thing called life, and how can we make our journey in life good, you know, peaceful, productive, where we're of service to each other. So this whole thing of mediumship is really, in my opinion, just a function of being human. And we all have the ability to connect with consciousness, whether it's in a body, whether it's passed and crossed out of our body. We all have that ability. And my life and my mission and my purpose is literally to help people understand that, to empower themselves so that they can make a better sense of this, you know, silly world we live in sometimes.
And I think, you know, I think no matter where you go, you'll always come up, and you, I love that you must always start by introducing yourself as a skeptic, because, you know, wherever you go, whoever listens to you, there's always those who are skeptical. And yet at the same time, I would bet about 100% of people have had an experience they didn't like, they felt was supernatural, or connecting with something, or lights going on and off, or whatever. I would say about anybody you would meet can think back or remember something that really they couldn't explain.
I think that's, you're totally right. And, you know, we could call it supernatural, we could call it divine, we could call it spiritual, but I think we could also all agree that we've all had some sort of unexplainable experiences. And if we put it in that category,
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. It then opens up the door of like, yeah, we can't explain that. So let's go into like what that thing was about, instead of having to label it as anything other than I can't explain that, or I can't make this bleep up under that category.
Right. I agree. So, so let's begin with the topic of meditation, which until somewhat recently was a dirty word to John.
Still is.
Just still is.
It still is. By the way, Deb, this is a Jonna who's been quiet for like the last 5 minutes. She's probably been meditating, but here she is.
Exactly.
Still is.
No, I got dropped out of our Zoom because somebody's probably trying to send me a message through Deborah, so they cut me off.
Shut her up.
Now, Jonna, if it makes you feel any better, none of us noticed.
Oh, fantastic.
So it was a forced meditation.
Let's start with the topic of meditation. I think it means different things to different people, or the process or the word is open to interpretation. So from your perspective, help us, how do you define what meditation is and why it's important?
Yeah, and Jonna, I'm with you. I think the way meditation has been presented to the world has done a major disservice to what it really is, how we can attain it, because, you know, I teach it all the time. And then one of the first things I ask my students is, you know, what do you think of when you think of meditation? And instantly people think, you know, sitting in bliss, quieting your mind, you know, perfect posture. You think beautiful models on perfectly, you know, beautiful scenery, docks in the background, sun setting. You know, it's just like this ridiculous image of what meditation is. And it doesn't do it justice at all. It's not what it is. Meditation is an observation of our insane selves. And I say that seriously, and I say that tongue in cheek as well. And it really is a time for observing ourselves, being aware of this idea of who we think we are, and sort of just sitting back with yourself to see how crazy we all are. And what I mean by crazy is that our minds are messy. They're busy. They're amazing. They have 1,000 thoughts running through them. Some of the thoughts are dreams and goals and hopes. Other thoughts are our failures and our regrets. Others are, oh crap, I forgot to feed the dog. You know, it's so varied, and no one on this planet is an exception to this, right? So there's 8 billion people. In fact, I think the UN just declared 8 billion people like today or this week. And there's 8 billion people on the planet. And the one thing we all share in common is we have these ridiculous, messy minds. And that's a really cool thing to be aware of as being a human on this planet, thinking we're different than everyone else, but we all have these messy brains. And messy doesn't mean bad. Messy doesn't mean negative. We just have these busy, busy brains. And those brains really don't help us when they're unobserved. So in other words, like when I'm in meditation, you know, it's not peaceful. It's not quiet. It's not blissful. It's anything but. So if here you have this practice that is anything but everything out in the world is showing people in such peaceful states. And then you as an individual sit down in meditation and you are just like, I'm itchy, my back hurts, this is stupid, your mind is going, what is the point of this? This is the most ridiculous thing. And then you think of, you know, someone in fourth grade that you hate, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. Our minds do these crazy things. And the point is to watch the mind. And a really good analogy that I was taught that I use all the time is our minds are like these snow globes that are shaken up, and all these thoughts, all these little specks of snow or glitter is just going all over the place. Meditation is watching them all in their craziness slowly and calmly starts falling back to the bottom of the snow globe.
I love that.
Yeah. It's such a great visual because, again, everyone's taught that, oh my God, it's going to be so blissful. And you're just and it's like, no, it's not. It's torture at first. It's awful, to be honest. And
well,
then
go ahead.
Start to settle. Go ahead.
Then they start to settle. And the distinction here, and somebody says, well, what's the difference? I'm either thinking them or I'm watching myself think them. What? Why bother? What's the difference? But beautiful. Yeah. You step into a different aspect of yourself when you take the role of awareness or the observer versus being the thoughts that are being thought.
That's exactly it. Because we are so unaware that we are identifying ourselves with every thought we think. And science, which again, the skeptical part of me loves science calculates that we think between 70 and 90,000 thoughts a day. So, you know, how many of those are we aware of? Not many. So if we're identifying with all of these thoughts, how can we possibly create a peaceful now, peaceful reality, and a future with intention when we keep thinking the same thoughts of chaos and I forgot to feed the dog and oh my gosh, what about that bill? And if I, you know, I got to pick the kids up on Friday and oh shoot, I forgot that client or whatever our minds are saying, we don't give ourselves an opportunity to actually start again and then go forward with intention. We're basically recreating yesterday every single day with our thoughts and our messy
mind. Oh, that
mind.
Movie Groundhog Day.
Literally. And that's absurd because we are so powerful. Human beings have the capacity to be so powerful. And yet, because of the information that we are not taught, meaning we are not typically taught, hey, listen, you are not your thoughts. Your brain is filled with lots of really cool data. A lot of the data is old and today is new and you can begin again right now moving forward. Imagine if we're taught that as a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old.
I have to say, this is so weird because I've been on this planet for what, like 39 years, right? At this point.
Yes.
I know.
She's admitting.
And you're my 30s. Much older sister by 10 years. It's wild.
Right. You're wise beyond your years. But I have to say something right now that I think with your explanation of that, of meditation, I think you just changed my life because if I apply my life to what you just described meditation is or should be, then I have been an accidental meditator for most of my adult life because that's when I thought meditation was you have to sit painfully quiet and not have any thought whatsoever, which is impossible. I'm not good at that. Therefore, I hate meditation because who can just clear their mind like that? But I do what you just described all the time, multiple times a day. So I guess I'm aware. So that's very interesting. If you redefined meditation for me, or I had the definition of meditation wrong this whole time, and that's why it didn't like it.
Exactly. And that's the whole point is that we all had it wrong because you open up any magazine and you see this person in this unbelievably uncomfortable looking posture, which does have its merits and its benefits for certain postures. And, you know, with this beautiful scenery and they look so calm and peaceful. And then when we try to do it, it's not that in that way. However, when we can understand that it's an intention of focus that actually is very calming, it absolutely changes the game for everybody.
I was just going to say, Jonna opened up this show by like, acknowledging there are times, you know, it's happy hour. We lift people's spirits and cheer them up and make them laugh. And also at the same time, life can get complicated and we go through things, and John has been going through some things, Frank Berry as well, and me, and I could feel that undercurrent of anxiety within me based on the circumstances around me and the uncertainty of the outcome. And Deborah, what I chose to do, I recognized that what I was thinking about, what was going on around me, recognized my sense of anxiety, and I intentionally did a gratitude meditation to shift my state. And I am a believer that when you shift your state, you shift your energy, you influence your circumstances.
Absolutely. Because we are beings and creatures of vibration and energy. Again, yes. That's a fact. That's not like woo-woo.
That's quantum mechanics. Yep.
Exactly. It's not a spiritual thought. It's a fact. It's a scientific fact. And so wherever we are resonating or vibrating at, we are going to see that layer of life. So if and when, not if, because we all have those moments of anxiety or sadness or, you know, insert your unpleasant emotion, you know, we can get stuck there and we get stuck there by repeating the thoughts that we had yesterday. So we stay in this cycle on this same resonance and life seems to be, you know, just a bunch of garbage a lot of times when we're resonating on certain levels. And the fastest way to shift our energy is through gratitude, is through just seeing what is right in front of you, which is powerful to know. And I want to insert there for anyone listening who, you know, I've been in a place in my life, thankfully not in many years, but I've have been into the place where I literally was grateful for nothing. And I could not even find anything to be grateful for. And so there, sometimes we're in that space, and that's okay too. Sometimes you just need to go like, there's nothing I like, nothing. And then start bare bones. You know, I every day wake up, and I'm not kidding, every single day I brush my teeth, I am grateful for a toothbrush and toothpaste. It is that simple. If I have that, I'm on a good track. And so sometimes when you snap into like, I'm not grateful for anything, life is not fair. When you're in that space, catch your thinking about that. And then
you do
dial
that because
you've
become the awareness of your thinking. That's step one.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the point of meditation, is to become aware of junk thinking is what, and we all have it. No one, again, no one is like better at this than anyone else. We all have it. But when we start to choose our thoughts, it's pretty powerful. You know, I can choose to be ungrateful, or I can choose to say, all right, I have toothpaste. And it sounds really, really dumb, but it's one tiny step. We don't have to like make this giant leap into, well, I'm glad that I have food. I'm glad I'm gonna have a house, because maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. So find whatever it is you have. Maybe it's, I'm grateful for this breath that I'm breathing right now. It's, we have to really learn to sort of fine tune our thoughts and become aware of them, and never, ever, ever criticize ourselves for whatever thoughts are coming across.
And I want to reiterate something that you pointed out there, something that I believe in very strongly. And I was one of those, like the toxic positivity. And I believe that that's valid, where we don't think we should feel down. We don't think we should feel angry or have thoughts or feelings that are negative. We should be able to keep ourselves up all the time. And so then we judge those negative emotions rather than allowing space for them. And what you said a moment ago, I think is really important for people to understand, particularly if you find yourself in a funk or worse than a funk right now, is I think we are far better off just letting that funk be there. Because it will pass. And when we put our pressure on ourselves, oh, I don't want to feel this way. What can I do? What am I doing wrong? I should feel different. Just allow that. When you mention nothing to be grateful for, just let that be what it is in the moment. And then you open up a little bit, right? Without the resistance.
Yes. And I mean, there's the word surrender to or accept, and people either love the word accept where I'm at, or I'm somebody who does not like the word acceptance. Like if I don't like something, I can't accept it and I fight my way through, but I can resonate with the word surrender to, so I can surrender to what is. And so we, sometimes when we say like, be where you're at, the resistance of not liking where we're at is the problem also. So surrender to, okay, I'm powerless right now. I'm just, you know, a mess right now. And that's okay.
And
it
one of your
so
famous
cliche.
One of your famous lines, it is what it is until it isn't.
until it isn't. That part of that phrase is the most important part. This too shall pass. It is what it is until it isn't.
Deb, can I take this in a little bit of a woo-woo direction, which we can just touch on it just in the interest of time. But I agree with everything that you're saying. And I also agree that there's always something that you can feel gratitude for, and that in and of itself can change your state and get you going in the right direction. But I had this, and tell me if you agree with this. I sensed in the last couple of weeks for me, because I am going through some stuff with family members who are in failing health. And for example, my grandmother last week was in ICU. She's not in ICU now. She's getting better. So that's the happy ending. But during the time that she was in ICU and I was going there every day, I, you know, was noticing her getting better and I was feeling good about her getting better. And I felt more powerful as she was getting better. And then one day I went to see her and her face was the most miserable face I had ever seen on any human being. Like she had this frown that was so gigantic. I've never seen anybody frown so hard before in my life, and nothing I would say was changing that. And so I had my visit with her and I went home and I'm like,
what happened? Like, what happened? And I said to myself, and this is the woo-woo part. I said, you know what happened? I started today, myself started the day kind of like going over a fight that I was going to have with somebody regarding work. Like, I was rehearsing this fight I was going to have. And so I started the day very negative, like geared up in fight mode, going over what I was going to say, why I was going to say it, how I was going to react to whatever that person was going to say back to me. That's how I started my day. And I said to myself, holy crap, she picked up on that. Like, she picked up on that. And I've convinced myself that that's what happened. So the next day I said, I'm never going to start my day like that again. I'm only going to start in a pleasant frame of mind. Whatever happens during the day is going to happen. And she has not had that face in the few days since. So am I crazy, or is that, am I on to something?
I love this. It's both. Well, it's, I don't mean you're crazy and you're onto something. Actually, you are crazy and you're onto something. It is both. It's you see, we're all mirrors for each other, right? So we experience the world through each other. So when we see someone, when what we pick up on from them is actually a mirror of our own selves. So she herself could also have been miserable in that moment. And you were resonating, if you will, on the level of her misery with your misery.
Wow.
So it's a more of a mirror effect, because it's not that you caused that face in her, because she's her own self. It's a mirror. You're bouncing off. So it's a perfect example of frequency and resonance that we see and experience wherever we're emotionally or energetically resonating with.
And Deb, also keep in mind here with Jonna too, you said that she might be on to something. Now, I think she just might be on something, because she's now suddenly out of the blue able to start every day happy. Yeah. How does she do that? Huh?
And well, that's that conscious choice. That is that grabbing hold of, like, you know, the bowl of our brain, grabbing hold of those horns and saying, not today. Not today. I cannot start that day. I love when you said, like, I was rehearsing this argument in my mind. And, you know, that we all have that, right? We all have this. I remember a time where I was not happy with a family member, and every morning I'd dry my hair and I would have this argument, this fight with this person. Now, meanwhile, they're off in their own world. They're not even the recipient of this. And one day I realized, wait a minute, I'm having a fight and I'm ruining my own day. I'm absolutely, completely ruining it. And I'm starting every day like this. So now, when we're having those moments, right? So I'm not about, oh, change it to the positive, because sometimes we can't. But this is a really good life hack. In those moments when we're not feeling positive, we become aware of the thought and we ask ourselves, do I really need to think this right now? And sometimes your system will say, yes, I really need to think this right now. I really need to go there in my mind right now. And then I say, have at it. Have all the negativity, have all the anger, have all the inner explosion that you want. You're giving yourself conscious permission to do it. It will not last more than a half hour. Even that's a long time. Most of the time when you stop yourself and you say, do I really need to carry this negative thought right now? 99% of the time, your system is going to be, meaning yourself, your inner self, is going to be like an exasperated 8-year-old child going, no, please don't do this right now. Please, I can't stand this. And then you say, okay, then I'm going to choose a better thought.
And what a better question to ask ourselves instead of, oh, what's wrong with me that I think this? What's wrong with me that I feel this way?
Exactly.
Right. You're removing that resistance. Deb, this is going far too fast.
I know.
I want to do two things I want to touch on, because we promote it as the importance of meditation, what meditation really is. And if you can give us a nutshell, how that practice will then help you become your own medium. And then I know we want to talk briefly about an event you got coming up.
Yeah. So the whole point of meditation and this becoming aware of our thoughts is that, you know, the world is filled with data, is filled with information. And we as humans receive all that data and information through our five senses, right? Mm-hmm. We see, hear, touch, taste, scent, you know, the whole thing. And that data is how we experience the world. That is also what the art of mediumship is paying attention to the sensory experience experiences that you're not even physically having. So in other words, if all of a sudden we smell, you know, roses out of the blue, and your grandmother loved roses and she's passed and you're smelling roses and they're like, what the heck? There's no roses around. That is an intuitive, data-filled connection or a communication that you're picking up on. And the only way to receive that information is to be able to learn how to slow your system down and become aware of it. I say mediumship, and I teach a ton of mediumship classes because mediumship, to me, is a personal development course. It's not about ghosts and spirits, although that's a bonus that you can start to sense and feel and hear and have an experience, not a physical experience, but an energetic, sensory, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, experience of data, of the consciousness that's no longer in a body. So mediumship is a personal development course in and of itself.
I love that. Now, you've got an event coming up Saturday, November 26th. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, you've got two galleries in one day in New Windsor. People can learn more about it at Deborah, with an H on the end, Hanlon.com. You've got a morning gallery, afternoon gallery, and what can people expect at this event?
Yeah, so the gallery is when I do readings and bring messages of loved ones who have passed. It's a tradition I've done. I had my center for many, many years and closed it because of COVID. And this is the first year I'm able to bring it back since 2020, where the weekend after Thanksgiving, because I know so many families are together for the weekend and the holiday, that you can join with your family and come to the gallery and hope to hear from your loved ones who have passed. So I've added two galleries this time, I always did, so that I can have two intimate settings and one. So the first gallery is at 9 a.m. The next one is, I believe, at 1. I have to check.
No, they're at 9:30 and 2.
9:30 to 2.
I'm looking at it right now. I have it right in front of me. And the doors open a half hour ahead of time. Again, DeborahHanlon.com to get more information. And Jonna and I have seen these in person. And I can tell you, whether or not your direct loved one comes through, it's still fascinating, and we all benefit whether you get the reading or not. And I had the absolute lifetime privilege of my dad coming through at one of your galleries. Yeah. I'll never forget it. And then I was able to share the hilarious story of of what happened after he passed, and my mom tried to get rid of his ashes. And trust me, it was hilarious. But anyway, it was a privilege, and I'll never, ever forget it. So Deborah, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And I hope whoever's interested to get your seat right away, because they fill up.
They do. And thank you both so much, all three of you so much, that you're a little silent over there, Frank and Barry. But thank you so much for having me back on.
Hey, I want you to know I was practicing. Thank you.
All right. That's what I figured.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to take some stuff to heart here, Deborah Hanlon.
I hear you.
All right, good stuff. Right. Thank you so much, Deb.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again, Deb. We much appreciate it. For Jonna Spillborn and Carol Pesci, we will be right back. We have segment 3 on the way, so don't go nowheres.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
And good morning one more time here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frank and Barry.
Mic drop. It's always a mic drop for Spillborn.
She's shooting her own horn.
Yeah. She could be like 5 minutes off. She could be saying hello, Frankenberry, right now.
And
she
right would now. Go,
mic drop.
She was like, woo, nailed it.
Yeah boom. Nailed it, right. So thank you very much to Deborah Hanlon for joining us again. It's been a while, but it was nice to have her back.
It was great to talk with her.
We really do need to have a part 2 because she's such a wealth of information.
I
and she
know.
Deal. I'm actually thinking of doing, if I'm in town, I want to do the gallery on Saturday because it really, she's, for people who've never seen her, and like you said, Carol, even if your loved one doesn't come through, she's so entertaining to listen to.
Yes.
It's just a good time, and you'll be inspired by people whose family members do come through because they get so happy to hear from them. And it's just a really
it's fascinating. Yeah. It's life changing. It's moving. Yeah. That's awesome. And I think that's about a wrap. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Cause we'll be taking next week off. So happy Thanksgiving.
We'll have a repeat.
Yes. We'll have a repeat next week. So
we'll tune in and hear us a show. Maybe you didn't catch in the past.
Right. It'll be something recent. So it'll be something, something fairly new. So you'll be good there.
And we all have a very, very much to be grateful for. I'm grateful for you guys always. And for our like 22, 23, maybe listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me as well. Me as well.
You know, and so I do wish you, my radio family, and all of our listeners a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Ditto.
Yep. Ditto. And I am grateful for the fine folks at Purina. So you, so you all have yourself a nice Thanksgiving. Thank you again, Deborah Hanlon, for joining us. And Happy Hour will return. And for Jonas Spillboard, for Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spillboar and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.